Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Here we have come yet again to come together out of our individual busy lives that are so unique and so demanding and challenging and happy and sad all at the same time. Here we have come to a room in Santa Cruz with this Course in Miracles book that has all these answers in wonderful certainty, like I've never seen anywhere else. It's one of the reasons I continue to read it, because it has so much certainty and authority. I haven't found it wrong. Keeps answering. As I needed, it has been there. But that brings us to one of the great things about A Course in Miracles is that it seems to meet you where you are. If you can tolerate reading through one or two pages, that is. It does seem to be a bar. If you can tolerate, it touches you somehow, you see something in these pages, then you and the Course in Miracles are destined. If you can do that, then this Course in Miracles can meet you where you are. I mean, what other book study group studies the same book for over 20 years? Whoa. There's lots of great books up there, and all of us at home, we have thousands of books among us, but this is the one we decided to do. Meets you where you are, again and again and again. So now, back to you. You have come out of your life here. It's time to do a little check-in, a little check-up, a little check-in. This is for you. This is for you tonight. This little meditation we're about to do, just for a couple of minutes. Meditate and
share with the group if you please, if you want. And we'll go back to our reading as usual. But let's do a little check-in now and find out. It'll be different next month if we were asked the same question, right? So just tonight. What's going on tonight is the question. And it's this. A chance for you to be honest with yourself. Check in. What do you really want? What do you really want? And we'll kind of keep it to the idea of coming here, A Course in Miracles, your spiritual path, an awakening that you might already have in your mind. So we'll kind of keep it to that. What do you really expect that you could achieve from this spiritual awakening? It is A Course in Miracles. But let's not get too grand here. Let's not get too large scale. Let's get personal. To what do you really want? Make it practical. Because this is all you're really going to do. This will be your next step. Sure, there are other grander steps. Fine. But let's get practical tonight. Because this is the next step that you will actually be taking. When you get personal about what you really want, you really expect to be able to accomplish with a spiritual awakening. And before we begin, this is no idle exercise we're about to do, by the way. As you open your mind, you're not opening it to anything outside, are you? You're opening to some itch inside of you. Something inside of you. A call, even, from you to you. From a capital Y-O-U to this small you who drove the car. That little one is sitting here. And the big one is to speak. It can say to you tonight, in the next 5 minutes, your next practical step towards your freedom. What do you really want? Put aside your needs. If any needs come up, no, that's going to be your ego in the world. Let's go to something that is what you want, because it would be better, more open, more loving, more natural. Lighter rather than darker, open rather than closed. What do you want? What do you really want? What is the gift that you would give to yourself? Is this practical next step in your spiritual awakening that you would give to yourself? And finally, if you can take this gift that you would have, put it into a word or a phrase or a comment, kind of describes this next step, this wonderful gift that you would give to yourself. It's so close, it seems okay to want this. What is it? What do you really want, honestly? Expect the next step would be the awakening.
Well, I want to be able to do is have a holy wish gift idea where you can communicate, be able to connect with what's really the person is being trying to say, other than what's coming out of their mouth.
Nice.
And that's, I feel like I keep getting closer to it, but it's like there's always something quite missing, and I want to be able to experience that.
Is that asking too much? Are we all trying to do this with our relationships everywhere since we were to communicate?
Yeah.
To really communicate, not to argue, not to convince, not to hope you get what I mean. I'm about to tell you something really personal. I'm a little afraid because you might get this wrong. No. Really communicate. How sweet is that?
And you know, in a way, when you start looking at it, you look back and go, wow, this is what we've always been wanting to do.
Whoa, that was wonderful!
And it's like, wow.
Whoa! You know why that's so wonderful? Huh?
You kind of feel that it was always there.
Yeah. It was kind always of cool. Possible. It was always there. Because both sides actually want this. Both sides of any relationship, any communication, even somebody holding a gun to you who wants your money, they really just want you to understand and this to be over. But they need you to cooperate. And you need them to understand where you are. Is it don't shoot, or is it you just go ahead and shoot me? Because I'm going to fight. What is it really? It would be good. True communication.
Yeah.
Why is this so wonderful? And why do you know that it's already there? Because as we learn in the end of chapter 15, beautifully said, communication is the act of giving and receiving. more you give, the more you would receive in honest communication. Because as things unfold and as you begin to speak and your body language and everything indicates how vulnerable, honest, giving, tolerant, trusting you are in that moment. And the other side dances to that music, turns out. We learn in chapter 15 and 16, communication is this last good use of the body now. The body's perfectly designed to separate you from everybody and everything. You sleep on your side of the bed with your right glass of water and your perfect day waiting tomorrow for you. And they do whatever they do. Maybe I can help, maybe I can't, but at least I know what's going on with me. So the world is set up with your body. But this book opens our mind to the similarities and the joining invitation of the holy relationship versus the separate existence of the special relationship. Communication is the key. Communication, it says in the end of chapter 15 and 16. It says the ego is afraid to communicate honestly, because if I give you too much, you might see something that you don't like. You won't love me anymore. Or you'll use it against me. I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm just going to tell you some, and I'll make it look good. Tell me some.
Can I say something? I need to say something.
What?
What I got from what David said was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, David, but what I got was you want to understand where the other person is coming from in order to be able to communicate with them. And what I'm not saying that was what you were getting at, but that's what I got.
Isn't that part of it?
Sort of. Yeah, it's kind of like that, but just on this, well, I know there's this deep freaking level in there that
But what I get from
doesn't even need the words.
Yeah, the deep. Well, we talked about it with Julie last week, or 2 weeks ago, or when you were last year, probably. Oh my God, I can only use that joke for another week or two. But that intimacy of joining, where you said the wrong thing, but you got the right idea.
But isn't it kind of speechless? It's like you just start doing this thing, and it's like speechless, and you're just kind of. You go there, and then everything just... I mean, yeah, you can use words a little bit, but it just... It's going to change.
It's kind of magical when it happens.
It's close, but it's like, wow. And it's like...
Yeah.
And you what keep was getting that? Closer and closer.
I think we were meditating on sharing.
Yeah.
What's it like to share? What does it mean to share what you were doing? And it was just this mystical, wonderful experience when you're communicating, and it flows like that. You click, and you connect. It's so wonderful.
I guess what I wanted to get to about this was if I could remember to do this, I would love it. But if I could remember when I'm starting a conversation with anybody about anything, that what they're wanting is love, and start from there, probably my communication would flow pretty well.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm. Page 366, setting the goal.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Right on it. Right on it. Direct counsel from the Holy Spirit. Very good, Julie. Yes. So, just finish this up in chapter 15, 16. The Course says, in true communication, in a holy relationship, you start to learn that it's not holding things back, it's by opening up that the love flows. The connection occurs. And you learn that this openness, you're being honest in the moment, not about all the secrets from the past, that just is the ego coming in trying to... That's miserable. No, in the current moment, what we're talking about. That honesty in the current moment. This is much more important than digging up old skeletons, really. Come on. That kind of present moment communication is where love is to be found, because it's such an honest giving and receiving. You know, when you say to somebody, it sounds like you're really troubled. Can you tell me more so I can join you? I want to understand what you mean. It changes the temperature of the room. And shoulders drop. And he's going to rephrase his words now, be a little more generous of what he really means. Because I'm not attacking him. It's the opposite. Loving. And I want us to join. So this is a wonderful... True communication is indeed love. Indeed is actually love.
Yeah, usually when I get close to it, it's always when you're sharing without an agenda that's cooked to the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of, because you're like, okay, what's going on? We'll put these two together and see what comes up.
Yeah.
You and Stephen used to do it where we thought an idea, and then he looked at the idea and he took his up. When he just did what he thought it was, and then you put them two together, you got a new one.
Yeah.
And it seems to be like kind of climbing up a mountain. You're getting closer and closer to what you want to know.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Rick was really good at doing that, too. I used to come up and say, I don't understand what this means. And I never read that part yet. I said, just tell me what you think it means. It would always work with him. He had a way of, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool. When you start doing it the first time, you don't know what the heck happened.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah, you guys got very open and it was very good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, this thing worked. What do we do? I don't know. Of course, that's the right answer.
That's the right answer.
It took a while to realize that was the right answer. It's fun.
Well, what do you really want?
Well, I want to be helpful.
Ha. Huh.
My focus these days are on my children.
Yes.
Who are now 30s and having their own children, and just want them to be happy and healthy.
Yeah. Not fall into any of the potholes that maybe you visited in your 30s.
Yeah, well, no. I swam pretty good.
You swam okay? All right, good.
You're sure fall in, and knowing, you know, it's that thin line between when are you being helpful and when do they just have, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Helpful sometimes is not giving.
Uh-huh. It takes pretty courageous to do that.
To hold back when you could give more.
It's a lot easier just to give too much. It's so easy.
Sure, you need a car, I'll buy dinner.
Uh-huh. Yeah, why not?
You can,
why
not?
Good.
You know? Might not be the best choice.
Might not be.
They might be better to struggle a little bit to figure out where their path is. That's what I want us to always be behind. That kind of superpower of saying the right thing and balancing that path for others.
Yeah.
Or for my own path to help them. To be helpful and not hurtful.
Yeah. To be truly helpful. Mm-hmm. Not just helpful for today. Teach them to fish rather than give them fish.
So I'm trying to say the right thing.
Yeah. Wow, is Marilyn capable of that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow.
So you can,
but I mean, it changes from time to situation to situation, whether it's money or space or time or ideas. I mean, oh my God, it's so different. Every situation is such a high variety. To be truly helpful. Yeah. This would be a superpower. In
my
this world.
My son asked what superpower we were. He went around, he's bipolar, people remember from him. So when he was really manic, like, what do you want your superpower to be? He was asking everybody he met. I said, I just want to be able to say the right thing.
Yeah.
It's not like flying. It's like, I don't need to fly. I don't need to walk through walls.
Yes.
I just want to say the right thing.
Yes. What happens when you're truly helpful? When the situation comes up with these kids or with anything in life, and you're truly helpful versus too helpful, not helpful enough, didn't meet expectations. No, nailed it.
You might not know right away.
You might. Aha, there's wisdom. There's already some opening of the mind, yeah? Open-mindedness, one of the elements of the teachers of God, is that you're open-minded to how a miracle and when a miracle works.
And it's for them. I mean, it's for me too, but their miracles are going to happen on their pace.
Well, that would be truly helpful. Instead of them having your miracles, they would have their miracle. I like that. That's truly helpful. Yes. Yes. That would take
That would take some courage, some open-mindedness, some trust, some generosity, some gentleness, some faith.
So when I opened the book today, I walked in, because I hadn't, I took the wrong book, I took one home with me, so I had to go find mine. I had to said, I am only here to be helpful. Page
28. Page 28, baby. She's a true student. Yeah. I'm here only to be truly helpful. In this situation with my 32-year-old kid, who just lost her job and needs a new car. And one of them's pregnant. How are you going to know what to do in that situation to be truly helpful? Well, you go to page 28. I'm here to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent Him who sent me, not Him who's pushing me in the situation. My ego pushes you to things. Makes you feel like you need to do something now. Pushes you. Holy Spirit pulls. It's very different. Holy Spirit invites and pulls you into things. It is just so different feeling. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do. That's impossible. You can go with an I don't know.
Well, it's really hard to refrain, you know, from really wanting to help.
Yes.
Or, you know, it's like, don't you know I have more experience than you do? Yeah. And your ego just really wants to go in there more than anything. You know, and fix things and all that.
Tell them what they should do. So,
right, sometimes you just have to just let it be and, you know, word here or word there. But yeah, it's sometimes not helping, it's helping. Right?
Or being there to catch them when they fall, knowing they're probably going to fall this time. But I'll make it so that they don't hit the ground too hard. Maybe that's what it is. But to be truly helpful, you have to have some confidence that says, okay, this is where the open-mindedness comes in. And having a spiritual, some spiritual guidance about what's really going on. The miracle that they need. That's good. Hmm. Yeah, you bet. You have access to that. Excellent. Bridget, what do you really want? What superpower is coming next in your life?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is there an ego habit that you would just as soon drop right now?
Sure.
Okay, what is it?
All of them? But you said don't get too grandiose about it.
Don't get too grandiose. Just pick one, because when you say it out loud, it is a prayer from the capital Y, you know, from the small YOU to the capital YOU, answered by the YOU.
And you.
That's why this is so important and you know, personal and a step. This is a step you would take tonight. Marion, thank you, is going to perhaps take a step back when the ego says you got to do this right now. Wait, look at this. Let me look at a little bigger picture here. What's kind of going on? And then in so doing, she might go quiet for a moment and let her Holy Spirit say, here's how to be truly helpful in this situation. Yes. David is like, oh, I want this communication. I want the essence of what I want to be said and what they want to say and to be heard equally. The true communication is so loving. Just like, I know I can do it. Mary is like, I know I can. And you can.
Beautiful.
What is it you're going to stop doing, Bridget?
Trying to change people.
That would be great! Oh my God! Think of the freedom in your life and relationship.
She's not talking about me. 50-50
shot there. How'd you think you're perfect, Henry? You don't need to have any changes.
That is awesome. Not changing people.
Trying to be free.
Some of them.
Having to change people. Oh, I could open up all sorts of space and comfort. And chance to be truly helpful. And honest communication would now have room to happen. If there wasn't this angst going on that you can't hide. It's not hidden. And you know for a long time that people have to change themselves to have a meaningful change. You can invite, you can demonstrate with your own choices. Have at it. This is one of the ways I know Course in Miracles works. Because some people will come up to me and they'll ask me, you seem to not be stressing about this difficult situation. Why not? And then I recognize, wow, this is true. Of course, they're miracles. But I've learned how to choose peace. And my peace isn't for sale for this car wreck or for this physical injury or for this monetary loss. I don't need to change the world anymore so that I can be happy. That's taught me. Don't change things out there. I'll change here, and then I can kind of go into life peacefully and more helpfully. Oh, what a barrier to drop! Yes, I say. Julie, what do you really want?
I spoke about this a few weeks ago, but I know a truth, which is that when I not just get present, but embody presence.
Yeah.
And do it with another. What David said happens.
Yes.
It's effortless, and I actually went to the attributes of God because I just felt drawn to them, and sure enough, I was like, every single one of these is what I feel.
Yes.
When I'm in that space, and I instantly know when I'm there. I just drop into this place of where my ego falls away. Mm-hmm. And there's no worry at all. I'm just there with the other person. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter. It's and I know what it feels like, and I know instantly when I'm there, and I want that. And
yes.
I can commit to allowing and affording myself to be in that space with more, in more every day.
Yes. Consistency. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, once having experienced that, would you ever move away from it, you might ask yourself.
I did, while during the meditation. Yeah.
But that's right. You bet. Mm-hmm. This is the holy instant. This is the awareness and the awakeness of the holy instant. And that section in the Manual for Teachers, it's all of these 10 characteristics of the teacher of God, they're based on one thing.
Trust.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it has a big section that describes this one thing that allows these wonderful characteristics of love to be present. It's trust. But, you know, this is like 1,200 pages into the book by the time you get there. Because you just drop away the doubter. There's a huge doubter that comes with this world of being in the ego. There's a big wall of doubt that it's really beaten into our existence from all times you maybe you've been disappointed. What Well, that's because your ego's disappointed. And the ego is out for something that wasn't changeable anyway. But when the love is sought, in any circumstance, there's no more need to doubt. There's a need to be truly helpful. There really is. Yeah. But it's based on trust. Mm-hmm. That causes this openness, timelessness, actually, to occur. Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's just right there, Julie. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Kenny.
Yes.
What is next for you? What is this gift you'll give yourself?
I am happy. And I can tolerate every word in this book.
Wow.
Tolerance was third.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying tolerance.
Tolerance?
Yeah.
You know, that tolerance one. That tolerance, it's only 2-3 paragraphs, you know?
Yeah.
And it's right after honesty, because for you to tolerate, it's really just honestly not knowing what's supposed to be, but trusting the discovery of what is. So tolerance becomes, you get eager a little, but where's our curiosity person? No, it was curiosity. It gets invited, but there has to be room for it. And this trust and tolerance makes room for the discovery of what is, what can be. Well, congratulations.
I'll be back next week.
Good. Zoe, what is it that you would give yourself in your awakening?
I think it's kind of similar to Bridget. I just want the ego to disappear and the Holy Spirit to be powerful, the powerful voice that I hear constantly. I think it's a lofty goal, but when I do it, I'm just in this sweet place of saying, wow. I can't think of his name, but the tall guy that sits over
John.
There.
Brother John?
Yeah. John. When he says, I just do the lessons and it happens. And that's what I'm experiencing. And it's just being happy to be in that moment. You know, and not really being concerned about anything. You know, just being present. And the quieter I get, the easier to hear
yes.
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So I'm finding that I prefer not to talk as much as I typically do, and I'm starting, it's like just listening to people without thinking I have to respond. And it's like, whoa, it's all of a sudden this joy just bubbles up, you know? So I would like to hear that voice.
Yeah. And that's how it's done. I will step back and let him lead the way. It's the way to be truly helpful.
Boy, am I learning that one.
You are.
I was born to be helpful. And I love heaven. And I've come to really appreciate it's important to ask, how can I help? How can I best serve thee, not me?
And you end up with exactly what you truly were seeking. Using the two ears twice as much as the one mouth. Because you join first. And then share. That's really great. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yes. It feels great. It feels good. It's not exhausting.
It hurts.
It's actually easier. Human.
It's better and it's easier.
Yeah.
Yes, this is where the truth is. Good. Mark, what is it next for you? What is this gift you give yourself?
Less doubt.
Less doubt.
Yeah, less self-doubt. And not worry so much.
Yes. Yes.
Which would make me more peaceful.
Yes. Excellent. That would take a miracle. Mm-hmm. Straight up. I mean, after all, the world has taught us that if you doubt and worry, you can stay ahead of your problems. You'd be stronger and wiser, and you'd figure things out before they went wrong.
Yeah, I've got this urge to I think my ego thinks that it can figure this shit out.
Yes,
and it never does.
Mm-hmm. And the few times it does is you have to celebrate, like, wow, I actually did it. One out of 10 times, yeah. Maybe the world's made up for you to struggle, as it says. Page 425 in the workbook. The body's purpose is to strive. Problem is, it's an uphill battle constantly. There's never real rest.
Right.
For those few times in your life you actually did get ahead with all this worry, with all this struggle, all those times you were wrong what you're worrying about. When it happened, you didn't need to worry about it. Solved itself. It was a whole different problem when you got there. I mean, that's normally this world.
I'm starting to believe that solutions come in experience and, you know, conversations, they don't happen in your head. But easier said than done. You know, sometimes when I'm doing these lessons and I'm meditating, I can, like, forgive myself in the moment.
Yes.
You know, and then just, like, erase the slate. You know,
yes.
Erase the table and be present.
Be present.
It's like, not worry about the stuff before it happens.
Yeah. In those moments. Mm-hmm. What Julie's talking about.
Yeah.
She discovered those same moments.
Yeah.
She wants to take them into her life. Mm-hmm. And she has a few of these tough meetings and stuff.
Well, going to what you were saying, I was doing the, meditating as part of the lesson today.
Yeah.
And for a moment, I felt like this just irresistible sense of energy and like falling into something.
Yes. Yes.
Really feels good. You know, just like a gravitational pull towards light.
Yes, yes.
You know, but yes. The moment I became aware of it, I just lost it.
Oh, yeah. And you tried to put words.
Your ego became aware.
Yeah.
That's perfectly natural. But that's also a way for you to see what's happening, mm-hmm. is to fall out of it. Knowing that you fell out of something. Mm. Oh, that's priceless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is what we call the holy instant.
Mm.
We have to say instant because it's actually an experience out of time. Hmm. The seconds, and the minute you start to think about it, you go back into time.
Yeah, it's amazing when you, like, when I look at the clock before I start meditating. And, you know, and then I open up my eyes and it seems like it was maybe a couple of minutes, but it'd be like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yes, spacious, it's free.
Yeah.
It's present.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are moments of the holy instance, and they're moments of spiritual awakeness. And the idea that you can talk about it now is a, not the, but a spiritual awakening. As the Course says, and this is a quote, "And now you know."
Here's your keep score. Just like put a tick mark every time. Then I can, like, you know, prove it to people.
Right?
Yeah. It's like an ego thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect ego. All of it. But the Course in one page, you'll see this when you get there. Because it'll say, "And now you know." Period.
Oh.
And you'll go, "I do know." Even though I seem to forget, even though I don't always do it, even though such and so gets under my skin, honestly, I do know. That's sweet. Very good. Mm. Excellent. Excellent. Marcus.
Thank you. Good.
Deborah, what is it you give yourself?
Joyful perseverance.
Joyful?
Right here to right here.
Right there to right there. Joyful perseverance. And from the motions of your hands, I see it is to receive. The wisdom, the authority, the confidence, the ability to be truly helpful. The understanding how to actually communicate. The courage. The courage not to change people. The courage to just be there with them. And with yourself. In the same moment. To receive that. Yes. It is given. It's given you. That's how I approached the book too. I'm like, oh man, this is me. This is my heart. And I recognize that the author knows me better than I know me, and that this is given here to you. It's here. Thank you. Beautiful.
I don't know how to say this exactly, but I feel like I am so addicted to this book that it's a combination of things. That I'm going through the book really much faster than I was before. Mm-hmm. Much more dedicated to doing some every single day, as the book wants me to do. Not as I was doing before, which was how I wanted to do it. So, but the thing is, in going through it at this pace, I'm getting lessons, constant lessons, all the time. I mean, it's like I read something and the next thing is an experience comes that emphasizes, or an experience comes and the next thing I know, I'm reading about it.
Aha.
So it's kind of like,
yes,
when you were saying it keeps up with me, it's like, my God, everything I'm doing is in this book,
yes,
or related to what's in this book, where I am right now. So when you ask, what do I want? What I'm reading constantly in this book, even more often than at the beginning, although I got it from the beginning, was that God's will is that the Holy Spirit bring me back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want for myself is a trust that that's true.
Yes, good. That would make things so much easier.
Yeah. If I had to trust that it was true, I could relax the thought of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
In many
Instead,
places
I feel
in the
like
book.
I'm frantic because right? all these lessons are coming at me one after the other after the other.
Yes, yes. Well, they'll come as fast as you can tolerate.
Well, see, that's the kind of thing I need to believe.
Yes.
That I can tolerate this.
Oh, yes.
I can do this.
Yes. Yeah.
And I never would have thought that I could do it.
Yes.
For previous.
Yes. And it's time.
Apparently. You say it's true, and the book says it's true.
And isn't it the perfect use for your body now?
Yeah, because my body doesn't mean as much to me as it used to.
And for the world? The world that has things that are too cold and things that are too hot and things that are too noisy and not noisy enough, isn't that a perfect place now to be truly helpful to you if you have the mind to return to God? If you have the mind to go from the false to the true.
Okay, now you just went off on a path and I'm not quite sure I got.
Mm-hmm.
When I said the body's not as important as it used to be, I take care of it just so I can do this book.
Yes.
And the cold and the heat and the whatever, it's there.
Yes.
But who cares?
Well, who cares is perfect. You have to end the doubting. You'd have to end the half steps, the not trusting.
That's what I'm saying I want. I want to get to the point where I can hear you say, and it's true.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yes.
I can do this at this pace.
Yes.
Because that's time. I want to be able to believe that. And
yes.
Some parts of me say, but you're exhausted.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then at the same time, if you're busy doing workbook lessons, you fall into these moments that Mark beautifully described.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though you were sitting so long and you get tired, but then you just relax a moment and say, well, I'm just going to sit here for one more minute. And boom. All the stress drops away. Because now you're not trying to sit. You're not trying to be still. You just are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you recognize, there's the love right in my heart.
And being there's present. Also the next lesson right there.
And, yeah. Isn't that beautiful? It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you.
It's just waiting for me to stay awake.
Yes.
Because it's always going to be, I mean, it's proving to always be, something comes up every single day. And I said, oh my God, that's just what I'm experiencing that the book is telling me about.
That's pretty convincing to me, that you are loved.
Yeah.
And there's a path for you that is laid out as easy as turning the page.
Thank you.
Another thing you might, if you're like cold or anything bothers you, one of the things we used to do is, when I was in survival school is we learned to experience it. So cold doesn't bother me a bit, and I would just, what does it feel like? So we take whatever it is bothering me, what is this? And just check it out. I mean, the body's just telling you something. It's communicating to you in a sense. What is it? What does it feel like? And we would just start experiencing what it felt like and different things, and all of a sudden it didn't bother me a bit, you know? You know, people get upset. They go over to, oh, the mountain lion peed on my sleeping bag. Oh, my God. So cool, man. He peed on your sleeping bag. Wow. You just look at it differently. Yeah. Take the whole thing differently.
No, this is an important lesson because it sounds like this. Instead of I'm cold, it's this is cold.
Yeah.
You've already heard this in your Zen classes and stuff. What we're doing here.
What? It's just, that's not how I'm thinking about my body. This body got cold. This body is cold right now. And what difference does that make?
Yeah, well, no, good. Good. Because a lot of people say, I'm cold, and they suddenly go into depression about, I'm uncomfortable, therefore I cannot be happy. That doesn't sound like it's you.
No.
Some people get cold, and they feel crushed by the world. Because they're cold, or they're sad, or they're depressed, or they're hungry, or they're tired. They look in the mirror, and they're too old, or they're too fat. And it seems like they're a victim. That's what happens to other people. What Dave is talking about is an important passage. And it's the essence of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. There's a bunch of words in this book that aren't the same in the dictionary, Emily. So you, the essence of forgiveness follows the miracle where you mind would have to be, he's already in his training be able to step away from I'm cold, knowing that there's some place to go other than I'm cold and this hurts and this sucks and somebody better do something else about it. Right? Other than that, he stays in the moment. That's the miracle, that there is another way to be free in that same situation. And then the forgiveness is recontextualizing it and saying, it's cold. I'm experiencing and seeing the cold. But I am not cold. It's the proper use of separation, says the book. The proper use of separation, the only use of separation, is you are not your ego. You are not your ego. Look at page 68 real quick.
That strategy works with anything, though. I mean, that's how I got over my fear of the dark and everything else. It's like you just sit with what is. You're not pushing it away. You're not judging it. You're not defining it. You're just like, oh, this is... It's, there's this feeling or whatever, and it dissipates. It just...
Yes.
All of its energy just drifts away.
But looking at it,
yeah,
rather than suffering from it. Mm-hmm. And nobody can see it as close to it as you, mm-hmm, than you. So you have to do what he's talking about, mm-hmm, and look at it. And the shift occurs. It's the same also we see in the 380s or so Above the Battleground teaching, mm-hmm, in this book. Is you actually get out of the problem for a moment and look at the problem from a bigger perspective of both sides. And suddenly the energy starts to drop away. Oh, that's good. And that's useful. But let's just look at page 68 here, mm-hmm, way up front. And I just want to remind you, sometimes it just says it, you know, what are we doing? Paragraph 6, mm-hmm, sentence 2, it says, your mission is very simple. You are asked to live so as to demonstrate that, mm-hmm, you are not an ego.
So easy.
So easy. It's so simple.
Which one was that?
That's paragraph. Paragraph 6.
Sentence 2.
Okay,
I think that's what
mark
people
are. Oh. Is that what we're doing? Well, how do I do that? But, of course, there's 1,000 pages to follow. But it says right here, it says, I do not choose God's channels wrongly. Whoa. What did you call me? You talking to me? What did you call me? I called you God's channel. Me? The one who's been in doubt? The one who's been so worried? The one who's been troubled, the one who's been pressured by the... You call me God's channel? Yes. You are the one who can be truly helpful in this situation. I can't. Because you are my joy. You are. That's your function, is to bring light. And then, of course, you'll have that very light that you bring. Bonus! Feels good. Yes. Cecily.
Well, I was thinking.
You sit right there.
So many things came to me, you know, but one was time. And then I thought, well, I want time to be present. I want presence, mm-hmm, and to be able to have that presence, I need to have that inspiration. So I think inspiration is really something that I would give myself. Inspiration to be present in the way that I need to be.
Yes. Yes.
With whoever I am.
Yes.
And wherever I am.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you already know the power of being present. You know the power of being present, but now it's somehow be awake enough, vigilant enough, mm-hmm. to choose what you know is peaceful and helpful and being present. So you got the miracle. You've already got the change of mind. That's what a miracle is in this book. It's just a shift in perception from the false to the true. You already had a shift in perception about how to be truly helpful, how to be present. Things go so much better when you're actually there in the present moment. Then you could actually be available to hear and to help and to love and to share.
Mm-hmm. And to love. You know, mostly I think it's that loving presence. That's
yeah.
So beautiful.
God, isn't it true? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you already know so well that you can't love tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow never comes. Mm-hmm. And you can't love last year. The past is really over. Mm-hmm. It's become a dream.
You can't be inspired to love yesterday.
Yes!
So inspiration is in the moment.
Mm. It's right mm-hmm. in the moment before your next thought. Mm-hmm. Your task is simple. Your task is so simple.
Yeah.
Your task is so mm-hmm. simple. You are asked to live in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Just do nothing. And let your trust, let your big trust that you have earned, that you have seen with the third eye, you have seen. Therefore, now you know. Now, the task is forgiveness, which is a release, right? A release of the future, release of the past. And you just end up in the present. Mm-hmm. Your task is simple. It is really just to fall into the present moment with full trust. And don't try to change anything. You know what? Forget about it. Let your heart fill with presence. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm. And then that goes in with the communication. Right? Because
yeah.
that's ultimately what we want with the others, to be able to be in the presence of, you know, love.
Yes.
Right? Openness and the freedom and
yes.
all that. So,
yes.
Yeah. We are able to align our thoughts and say the things that need to be said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And when they're said that way, honestly and in the present, mm-hmm. even though they may be hard for the other person to hear, the simplicity and the certainty that comes with those words is much easier to hear. Mm-hmm. And the love is seen. The love that is actually behind the words is seen because you're present. And they can do very hard things. Mm-hmm. You can now. You can do the hard things and be truly helpful with this kind of love backing you up. That's why we want the Holy Spirit to weigh in. And we set the goal from page 366 ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Your job is very simple. I didn't say easy. Because the ego's always got some input that can make it difficult. But good. Good. You get the miracle already. Beautiful.
Inspiration literally means in spirit anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, in spirit. Yes. Yes.
Open channel.
Open channel.
Oh, that's interesting. So you could say that it's a miracle when you're inspired.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? Because the Holy Spirit
yes.
is bringing you something.
Yes, a shift in perception
mm-hmm.
that allows you not to follow the ego's judgment
yeah.
and the ego's worry and the ego's demand. That is to be moved in spirit. Mm. And now you're in spirit instead of in material, you're in spirit. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. And to follow it will require your forgiveness, which is let go of the old ways. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it. It too happens. Now that your heart is filled with another way, though, see? Which you've heard all around the room, and you, from you too. That miracle is there. You can trust. You can trust in the current moment. that there's more going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you.
It is so nice to be, you know, because I teach. And I just think of all the kids and I just want to be present.
Yeah. Don't miss it. That's happened to me too.
Uh-huh.
On the way is don't miss it.
Yeah, just make the most of it.
All those moments are so rich.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Emily? What is this gift you would give yourself?
There's so many things, and then what everyone's sharing just seems like everything. But what came to me was innocence.
Yeah.
And like that, a deep feeling that I don't need to know what's happening next, what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Or exactly how I became the way I am and how this person I'm speaking to became the way they are, but they're innocent.
Yes.
And I'm innocent.
Yes. What a beautiful gift.
And there's nothing defended. You know, I'm undefended in my innocence.
Yes. And there is no attack. There may be hard things going on, but they're not attacks. Maybe hard things being said and done that actually have measurable damage, and we got a court date. That may be true. That may be true. But it's not an attack.
Not an attack, or there's no one harming.
Yeah.
Or it's both people coming from innocence, trusting in that innocence.
Yes.
That is at the source of.
At the source of. Get behind all of these fancy colored edges and limits and what's underneath. That's where you're going to find the innocence more easily. That's where the compassion will be born. And the sharing starts to happen again. Because at the bottom of it, we all want the same thing. We all have that same at the source. Desire for happiness, desire for rest. Desire to be helpful instead of harmful. We all have these essential at the bottom of it all. No matter what it looks like at the out of the leaves, the trees, all made of wood. At the core. Happiness. Innocence is such a great vector for that. Yes?
There's a one lesson where it's talking about, where it says, I have forgiven the world.
Yes.
So, and I was thinking about that a lot a couple of days ago, where when you forgive the world, you basically become innocent. You erase the chalkboard, mm-hmm. because there's not. In order to forgive everything, then you start experiencing everything totally new, because you let go of all your preconceptions about people, things, and you can experience things the way they are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It might be fun.
It could be.
And we'll learn something.
You might actually learn something.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It also seems like there's a way that there's no blame for even what might seem hurtful.
Yes.
In innocence, there's not like someone's trying to attack me, even though they seem like it.
Yes.
Underneath that, there's some other stuff that's the ego.
Yes, ego.
And so underneath that, if we can look at that, that there's innocence underneath that attacking behavior.
Yes.
And then I can reach maybe there instead of be defending myself against attack.
Yes. Of Course in Miracles spends a lot of time on attack.
Mm-hmm.
Because attack seems like something you better act on that. You better defend yourself. You better attack back. You better attack first. You know, that's what the ego says. So of course, we spent a lot of time on this attack word, and I forget what chapter it is, but there's a sentence that says, you probably looked a lot at attack, but did you recognize that fear is underneath all thoughts of attack? Why would you attack if you felt completely secure and abundant, and you desire to share? You would not attack. No, you attack because you're afraid that this is going to go bad, or it's already bad, or I could be hurt more, or I was unfairly treated, or me has a problem. I'm afraid. Therefore, I will attack. And so the course goes on. And one of the most powerful sentences in the whole book that requires some meditation. Take a look at it. Turn to page 217. Mm-hmm. Paragraph 8, sentence 13. 217. In front of the book. Just about a half an inch in. We're just getting warmed up here.
That's one long paragraph.
But this really helps us get to the insight of where innocence, how is innocence not a lie? How can we see that innocence is actually underneath these horrible things they said or they did? And remember, we were talking about forgiveness a moment ago. Thank you. And a very important thing. I got to slow it down, so I use a chalkboard so you don't just say it. Ooh. Very important thing is that you can't forgive something. Anybody can finish the sentence?
Oh, there.
That, great way to slow it down, huh? Is
not real.
Not real.
True.
Not true.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You can't forgive something that is true.
No, you should attack it. True. You should defend it. You should duck. You should run. You should deal with it. If it actually, if this is true and it can hurt you and it's horrible and it's guilty. If it's really guilty, your ego is all over this job and there's no room for your spiritual awakening. There's no room for rest. You're going to fight. You're going to fight. You're going to attack. Your ego has got the job already if it's true. This is why it's a spiritual meeting. And this is why what you said is so beautiful. I mean, we can feel it. When you, in the Course in Miracles, the workbook lesson is designed to drop you into this out-of-time interval where you see things. You see right through it, like you described. And like you did. You just see right through all of the fetters, and like you're describing. And you see what's underneath it. And so, no, that's truth. And the idea that I'm being attacked and I can be actually hurt in the ways that matter. That's not true. My thoughts are what hurt. My judgments are what hurt. My worrying about what could happen, but hasn't, but could, that's what hurts. You take the truth out of the situation. It's still real, okay? I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm not trying to erase all the details of your situation. But it's not true that it can hurt you in the ways that matter. This is part of your spiritual awakening. You can go to peace, even with the court date approaching and the outcome uncertain. Or that situation in your office. You know it. You can actually go to peace and get present and things go a lot better. So you're just going to start with that. And then we'll see what happens. It's so much better. You learn to do that. But you're letting go of this judgment and this all these all possible problems. You're forgiving them each and all wholesale now. Because you know they're not true. You're worrying your ego. Your ego's ideas of the attack and how bad it's going to be and how wrong it is. All judgments. Now you can forgive the world. It is not true. It's your thoughts we're dealing with. So, I just leave that there on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. All right.
Very good.
we read this? No, we haven't even read the paragraph. Oh my God. So, and mind you, we're skipping ahead a bit just to read this paragraph. A couple of paragraphs ahead are a great setup for this. Absolutely poetic. We're just going to read the meat.
Okay. We'll read page 217.
So, even start with 216. And paragraph 6 for you, Emily. Do you have a copy of this book?
Yeah. I don't, but I will borrow it.
Okay, but home Cecilia has one. If you want, you get a chance to. We don't have time tonight, but it would be really great for you to read paragraph 6, 7, and through 10. Actually, to read the whole section, rest of the section, would be so helpful for you. You can get it online too. Just write down a sentence and you go on your computer, and you can read it off your computer. Yeah, just write down the first sentence or two of only appreciation is appropriate response to your brother. Write that down and Google that, and it'll take you to a page. You can just read a couple paragraphs. Now, we're going to skip ahead even on paragraph 8 to this magical sentence 13, sentence 13, the end of paragraph 8, which is worth a whole night's study, but I'm going to push us ahead tonight. Just look at 13. We just talked about how underneath attack is really fear. That's what enables you to attack. Mm. So you can protect yourself, or who wouldn't? Or you can get what you need. I mean, who wouldn't? What's really going on? Here it is in one sentence. It says, for fear is a call for love. A call for love in unconscious, of course, recognition of the love it's been denied. Not denied to them, denied by them. Love is always present. That's how it can be truly helpful, is to see that the love is always present. You just have to be able to work it. Fear is a call for love. The attack is a call for love. I'm not feeling love, so I'm going to yell at you and you and whoever else gets in my way. But starting with you. I'm going to use four-letter words with your name, and I'm just going to try to... I'm so afraid. Because I'm so angry. Because I'm so... I just don't feel love. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't have the tools for it. So I'm going to attack. It's my fear that's talking. It's a call for love. It's an unconscious recognition that I don't feel love. Isn't that a beautiful teaching? Oh, compassion just bloomed in that moment, isn't it? Now I just want love. You're calling for love with these angry, horrible words. You're waving your arms around, you're throwing things. What's got you unhappy, Bumpy? Maybe I could make it better. Maybe it's not as bad as we think. Disarmament occurs, compassion occurs. And then, of course, as soon as you see this, you naturally, because you are a living, breathing human who is a love machine, all you want to do is love. If you knew how. It just starts to call on you to love and to meet the person where they are. Because that's what you want. If you are screaming and yelling, what would it take for you to say those things? What would it take for you to get like that? Well, you'd have to be bent this way, pushed that way, and squashed a little bit here. Would you blame yourself for doing this? You have to actually stand there for a moment. Oh, now I get it. You're so afraid. You're in a bad way. I've been in a bad way. I don't want you to be in a bad way. Is there anything I can do? Yeah.
I have a client who's an adult, but she has cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And she basically is a 7-year-old child. Mm. And her caregiver upset her so badly today that she came and started crying right away. But she said, I was really angry. And then she started And as I was holding her, she was crying. He says, I want my mommy.
Oh, yeah.
My mommy's the only person in my life that is here to love me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, those are the words, but you know the meaning.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, beautiful. It's good. Mm-hmm. Turn to page 438. In the text. This is where we left off last week. And, you know, this is an amazing section that is so potent. There's so much being taught here. What we're talking about is this is the temple, the altar for the Holy Spirit, instead of the altar for the unholy spirit. We're trying to make a place in our mind where we can receive the correction. We can actually receive to be undefended enough, open enough to receive. And then when you do, of course, the Holy Instant occurs and you say, I want more. In this part of the text, we're describing one of these, the temple to the, that the ego does, is it makes judgments on people, on situations, and it makes a summary judgment, and it says, well, that's how that is, and that's how I'm going to deal with it. And that's an idol. It's like a thing on the shelf. And you say, a picture on the wall. And you say, well, that's what that stands for. I don't know how the person really is today. I don't want to know. I'm just going with the smile picture I have of them. Or the Buddha. The Buddha smiling up on the shelf on my little, I just rub his belly and everything is good. Not actually being present, unless you use the idol correctly, for your presence. It's an escape. It's a substitute. For actually you being the Buddha. You're going to go to the Buddha.
What?
An idol is a substitute for the truth, and it's actually you pretending to be dead when you trust your judgment instead of being present and finding out what's going on right now. Letting the moment be reborn by forgetting the past. Another quote from the book on page 476. When you forget your past, you're reborn. Isn't that free? Mm. So that's the section this is part of what this is trying to say. So, Emily, you want to read for us?
Where are we on number 9?
We're on number 9. Very good.
Idols must disappear and leave no trace behind the gone. The unholy instant of their seeming power is frail as it is a snowflake, but without its loveliness. Is this the substitute you want for the eternal blessing, the holy instant, and its unlimited beneficence? Is the malevolence of the unholy relationship so seemingly powerful and so bitterly misunderstood and so invested in a false attraction, your preference to the holy instant, which offers you peace and understanding? Then lay aside the body and quietly transcend it, rising to welcome what you really want. And from his holy temple, look not back on what you have awakened from. For no illusions can attract the mind that has transcended them and left them far behind.
Yes! There's a lesson that says, the past is over, can touch me not. Another lesson that says, I'm at home, fear is a stranger here. Look at this paragraph says. It says, well, first of all, rehearsing some of what we discussed previously, idols must disappear and leave no trace behind their going. Now remember, everything Course in Miracles is teaching is not actually about the world. It's about your mind. So the idols we're talking about are actually your thoughts. They're not actually people or things or pictures. Those are just our analogy. No, we're talking about your judgments, your thoughts, what you're holding in your head as real. That's what's in the way.
So you're talking about decisions?
Decisions that become resolutions that become judgments that are kept.
Well, it's interesting because the definition of, you know, the root of the word decision is to, you know, to kill something. You know, it's the side part.
Are you talking about decimate?
Yeah. It's related to that.
Yeah.
So you kill something off. You're killing something off. That's what a decision means. It's like you put an end to one thing.
Uh huh. Yeah, without me making an idol, because you stop. It's not living anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a communication. It's a death by judgment.
Mm-hmm.
A death by decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Static, right? That's what death is. That's not life.
Right.
It's the opposite of life.
That's interesting.
Yep. Okay, so idols, because they're substitutes for the real thing, they must disappear and leave no trace in their going. They weren't true anyway. That's what makes forgiveness so easy. When you see something that's not true, well, you no longer want to hold on to it. It becomes so simple. When it's not true. If it's true, it is not simple to forgive. In fact, it's a lie. If you forgive something that's true, you're lying, right? Isn't that a lie?
Mm-hmm.
If it's true, you know, let it go. That would be a lie. A little trick.
My understanding of that is if it's true, then it's never done anything that needs forgiving. Or can there's no point in forgiving it.
Yeah. Okay. The unholy instant of their idol's seeming power, it's frail as is a snowflake, but without its loveliness. Is this idol? Is a judgment of somebody or something? Is this a substitute that you want for the eternal blessing of the holy instant and its unlimited beneficence? Is the malevolence of the unholy relationship so seeming powerful and so bitterly misunderstood and so invested in a false attraction? Is that your preference to the holy instant, which offers you peace? It offers you understanding. Well, I assume your answer is no. Well, then, lay aside the body. What? The body? I thought we were talking about something, you know, wispy and just, you know, metaphorical. What's your thoughts we're talking about? And as you learn, A Course in Miracles actually calls out your body to get close to you. You. Because you think you're your body. When you're not paying attention to your spiritual path, you think you're your body. You walk by a mirror, there it is. You wave, it waves back. Ah, you really do are so drunk that that's you. See? So, of course, never forgets that. I love it. Even at the end of the book, it remembers your addiction. And the addiction of all the people you know. Mark did it. And he described it to us. Thank you very much. He says, just for a moment even, lay aside your body, which is also the world, same level, quietly transcend it. Rising to welcome what you really want. Which is to say, the body is not what you really want. The body and all that it can do, can say, what the body can receive, or what the body can give, or what the body needs, or how the body would be better off next month, all of that. Not what you really want. Oh, thank God. because the body's been pretty inconsistent all along the way. And so many surprises are waiting. You see it happen to other people, why not you? The sooner you dissociate with your body, the better. Welcome to a spiritual meeting. There are material meetings where we can learn how to teach you to invest and prepare and navigate the healthcare system so you can have a little advantage. You know? There are meetings for that. But I want the permanent solution now. And I know all of those are they're all idols and substitutes. This course is about dropping your identity with your body. Just to break it to you gently. You're going to die before you die if everything goes well. So it says it right here, warming you up, some of the workbook lessons. If you don't want to have this frail promises that the idols of the world have been trying to give you, that all disappear so quickly, you don't want that, then lay aside the body and quietly transcend the body.
Wait, does that mean we have to all start wearing gray?
No. This is a sudden thing that occurs when you let go of time and you come into the present moment. It takes a meditative state. It's the easy way to do it. It's not the only way to do it. You will eventually find you don't need a meditative state because all you're doing is returning to the truth of now. And you're always in the now. Even when you think you're not, you are. That's what makes it so darn simple. As you awaken to the reality of where and when you actually live, you're just pretending not to be in the now. Anytime you're unhappy, you're pretending not to be in the now. Anytime you're confused, you're just pretending not to be in full trust. Because Cecilia, in the very present moment right now, it's perfect trust. And you can't actually be 5 minutes from now. And you can't actually be 5 minutes ago. Even 1 second ago. So really, it's all about trusting right now. That's to be honest, isn't it? That's what it means to be alive. The closer you get to now, the more you're actually alive and not dreaming and pretending. It's much more free. Oh my God, it's so much more fun. But here it is. Lay aside the body and quietly transcend the body, rising to welcome what you really want. And from this, His holy temple, remember, it's all thoughts we're talking about. And you are the dreamer of the dream. You have a kingdom which you must rule, and it's your thoughts. This book is helping guide you to teach you how to harness your thoughts back to joy, back to peace, back to happiness, eventually back to creativity. But that you'll do all just like you wake up. No need to describe that here. But you do need to remove the blocks to the awareness of this that you've placed so cleverly in your own mind. So that's the holy temple, is your thoughts of awakening from these shallow promises of the body. These frail promises of the world. These ridiculous idea that they could be happy because of something you did. Or that you will be happy when they do something for you. This is what it means to awake from the body. This becomes a temple where you can hear the Holy Spirit instead of the unholy spirit. Oh, it's so simple. Okay. And from His holy temple, look you careful now, This is where he knows that you're such an addict. Oh my God, you addict! You're so addicted to your ego! He says, wait. He says, when you get free and you transcend your body, even for this moment, he says, hey, look you not back on what you have awakened from, please. I know you're going to be tempted to look in the rearview mirror. You'd be so tempted to describe the moment you're in, but you'll immediately begin to describe it on what it's by what it's not. Ah! Oh, you're focusing on what you don't want. Again. Mm-hmm. He says, do not look back. It's so... it's just your addiction to the ego and labels and time and space and bodies. That's, it's just an addiction. He knows. He knows. This is your addiction. When you get there, don't look back. It's part of what it means to go to the door. Be. Mm-hmm. Look you not back on what you have awakened from. You just be studying it more, right? No. For no illusions can attract the mind that has transcended these illusions and left them far behind. That's the work of forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is so critical in A Course in Miracles. Readiness to do this work and that you to be happy is not enough. Readiness to hear the Holy Spirit and put your ego aside, you know, fully willing and ready, it's not enough. You have to actually stop drinking if you're going to give up alcohol. And you got to stop pushing the needle into the vein and waiting for whatever happens when you do that. You have to stop imagining that when you've put it down for the last time, right? Same with your ego. You have to actually be willing not to fill all those voids in a conversation with all your clever ideas. Oh, it's so much more generous for the other person, isn't it? You know this now. It's, you're never going back. You know this now. Okay, let's have a circle. Can you believe it's in that paragraph? You complete the circle.
Thank you. Again.
Take a deep breath. Well, it's up to you. I mean, it always has been, but now it's a little different tonight, huh? Because it really is up to you. You take your next step with your next thought. Let's have it be a free thought. Let's have it be one that's inspired by the Holy Spirit that says you can receive every word in the book. They're all written just for you. Let's have that trust. Enter tonight as you walk out that door, as you go through that door in this room. Let's have this trust to become something that you own. And all you have to do at any time in your life, when it's time to go back to peace, is just remember the moment. Not when you open the door, not when you're on the other side of the door, but the present moment of just passing through it. It was just an instant. But you lived an entire life in that instant. You understand what I mean? Because you're only in a present moment ever. And that's just going to be another one you're going to have as you leave this room. This is what it means to be present. Oh, all the trust you ever need is right there, between your thoughts. And the whole world starts to be a lot more fun. Thank you, amen.
Thank you.
Huh? Oh, no.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
My daughter got married.
That'll be one less thing.
In August.
You can read the price on there.
I believe they're 30.